AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Johnson. AfterBuzz
TV. AfterBuzz TV. The destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Fanshees. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Banshee. We're talking about Season 3, Episode 4, Real Life is the Nightmare. I am Matt Lieberman. Joining me as always, Oriana Leo is here.
Hello and go Patriots.
Yes, Isaac Johnson is here.
Hello, I also watched the Super Bowl.
He's not crazy about it. Manus Rose, unfortunately not with us this week because he was in Phoenix, presumably to see the Super Bowl. But we had a fantastic episode. We can't wait to break it down for you. But here's the thing, folks. If you're not subscribed to AfterBuzz TV on YouTube, you should go and do so ASAP. A lot of shows being live streamed right to YouTube these days. So go to youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV to subscribe. Also, we're going to give you our Twitter handles right here off the bat so that you can tweet us with the hashtag BansheeABTV, or is it hashtag ABTV Banshee?
Yeah. Yes.
Hashtag ABTV Banshee. Anything you want to talk to us about this show. Also, keep commenting on YouTube and keep leaving your reviews on iTunes. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman.
And I'm on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo, and that's OrianaLeo.
And I'm on Twitter at Isaac Johnson. That's IsaacJohnson.
Fantastic.
We can spell.
Yeah. So, yes, so last week we had the massive bomb drop of Siobhan finding out all about Hood's previous life, getting the police file, and we have this very emotional confrontation at the top of the episode. She's pulled a gun on him. He's trying so badly, he wants so badly to resolve this situation, and she's just not having it. How did you feel about this?
I loved the opening with the spinning sheriff, the spinning star.
Really nice.
It really evoked that emotion of just, he did this. He knows he did this. Mm-hmm. He knows he's stuck. And that, just that dread, that feeling, that horrible feeling that you've hurt someone you love. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And it was, and I have to amend my position from last week because I wasn't really buying his love for Siobhan. I wasn't. This episode changes that for me. To see his pain and to see him cry and to see the... He's just... I think even he's realizing that he really loves her.
Sure. Yeah, I was going to comment on that badge, too, with, like, the rattling sound. It was really unnerving, which is a really cool bit of storytelling there from our producers and whatnot. I bought the relationship before, but I like seeing him in that place of vulnerability.
Yeah, he was flat out stricken.
Yes.
Yeah. When he sees her later at the sheriff's office, you know, before she says she's not going to turn him in, and after, first of all, you see the massive relief. He just wants to go to her and hold her, like, right after that. It's a primal thing. And when he says, you know, that she is the only safe place that he's ever had here, you know it's true.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe ever.
Yeah.
I'll say there's also, like, somewhat of a parallel. Like, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but sometimes I feel this way in my life that, like, people are going to find out that I'm a fraud, you know, that I'm actually not the person that I say I am or whatever.
All the time.
You know, like you grow up and you get an adult job and you sometimes feel like, oh my gosh, people think I'm a real adult or something like that. So he's got that feeling going on there.
Yeah. Absolutely. I also love how the spinning star leads a perfect transition into our combination in the opening sequence. Just really well executed across the board. To have Hood in this position, let's just take a macro look at this character right now. Right, this is somebody who spent the better part of their life in prison. He had one mission. He ultimately realized that it wasn't to be. Stuck around and found a reason to stay, and now that reason might be his undoing. And it's rare to see him, the word again, vulnerable, because he's usually so very much in control or reacting to a situation in a very in control fashion. So it's fascinating this whole episode to see him try to tie up loose ends and make his time in Banshee, however flawed, matter.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about last episode, too. He's never really had anything necessarily to lose. He can kind of do things as he sort of sees fit. Mm-hmm. But having, you know, fall in love with Siobhan, I don't know if he's quite in love, but maybe he is, you know, like, you know, he finally has something to lose. And, you know, and he's been, his, gosh, I'm losing all of my words here, but it's been revealed who he really is, and he can't hide anymore.
It's the ultimate vulnerability to be exposed like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, I feel like he didn't have anything to lose before. Like, as long as this cover was kept,
sure,
he felt safe. Yeah. And now that it's been exposed, and it's been exposed to the only person he cares about, pretty much, other than obviously Carrie and his daughter.
Yeah.
That's that moment that rips him open.
And I have to give a huge shout out to Anthony Starr, this is just one of his finest performances on the show.
It's a really great moment.
Every time he tears up, I tear up. Like, I believe him so much. Oh, I'm really right there. I'm so invested in these characters.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's like jumping too far ahead, but the moment with him and Dave, I was this close to crying.
Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he tries to catch Dave. She's ditching out on school, and he is basically trying to say goodbye, apologize and say goodbye, all in one go. And I love the moment when her kind of veil drops, when he's like, you know, okay, I'm the a-hole. Yeah. And she's like, oh, wow, this guy is really leveling with me right now. And she realizes that he's going to leave. And when she says, does it matter that I want you to stay? And he says, yes.
Yes.
Well, not just that, but to see, he really pushes with her. Mm-hmm. Because the last time he was caught off guard and, you know, she says, I'm not okay. I hope you're okay. I'm not. Mm-hmm. This time, I loved the shot because there's this distance between them and she's edging away and he just closes the gap.
Yeah.
And to me, that was just really, you know, it was beautiful storytelling in that way. And it just made me realize, like, he's willing to put himself out there at this point. Like, he's not been vulnerable. He hasn't shown his true colors or feelings. And here he is.
Well, it might be his very last chance to
ever
do so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then he ties it in with talking about his father, you know, how much he hated his father, and he doesn't want her to hate him.
But that was another thing. We learned something about him as a person, you know, that he had probably a really tough childhood. Mm-hmm. You know, we could have guessed that, but to hear it from him
is a different thing entirely.
Yeah. I also like that she, you know, that moment, him saying, like, yes, it matters, and him really driving that home to her was just wonderful. But then her giving back to him, you know, I don't hate you. Like, that was the moment where I almost, like, I almost cried. Because it was just so beautiful to see these characters fully connect and, you know.
And you don't want this to be the last time they see each other.
No.
Like, I can't handle that.
And the crazy thing is, I almost called it one of the quieter episodes of this show, or a quiet episode, and it's not. Though, you know, it kind of is lighter on action, and it's lighter necessarily on active plot advancement. It's mostly just waiting to see what Siobhan will do with the information.
Sure.
It still is a very dense, very weighty episode, and an important episode.
Yeah.
It's a turning point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it is a quieter episode in some ways, but it's more focusing on character and the pathology of the characters.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of characters. We have a lot of story in this episode.
A lot of story, a lot of emotion.
Yeah, we'll circle back to Sheriff Hood as he connects to these other stories.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about Kai Proctor. His connection with Emily seems to be deepening.
Mm-hmm.
As his mother's health worsens, and Brock is very upset about it, stalking her outside of the drugstore. He's in, like, full, like, jealous, crazy ex mode.
Yeah, which I can, like, the way that she treats him of, like, you're the one that needs to get away from me.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, a turning point for me of going, oh, crap, Brock's crossed the line here. Like, she was the one that was trying to get him for so long, and he always said no, but now that she's moving on to, I don't know, his arch nemesis or the person he hates the most, he can't handle it and he's crossing the line.
Well, can we say for sure that she's moving on?
No, but I'm just, for her to say that to him, like, leave me alone. She's been calling the police station every night saying there's a prowler in her house, trying to get him to come over, and she hasn't been calling lately. And she's living at the Proctor. So whether anything's actually happening or going to happen, you can imagine how Brock would feel like he wasn't in control anymore. He wasn't the one that was holding her attention.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Isaac?
Well, there was that line that she said to him. She says, I care for the dying, right before she kind of blows him off for good. And I think maybe in some ways that Brock was kind of the dying there, but now she's sort of moved on to, you know, we talked about how she's a fixer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that Brock liked being the guy that was trying to be fixed. You know, he liked that attention. And now she's, you know, kind of moved on to a new case. But, you know, his fears are warranted.
Yeah.
You know, Kai Proctor is a terrible, well, not a terrible person, but he's not a good
guy.
He's
a pretty terrible person.
Yeah. Well, he's not a good guy. I mean, we have, you know, the characters that there's some justification for why they're bad or whatever. But, you know, his fears are very warranted.
Yeah. Well, I kind of read the scene a little bit differently. Personally, I found it very illustrative of their relationship, where she is very hot and cold, which is what keeps him so very wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hot until he actually wants something to do with her, and then it's just get away from me. And this continuous cycle is why he just can't seem to break out of this toxic relationship.
That's interesting. I see it as the opposite of that. She always wants more and he can never give it to her.
Interesting.
You know, yeah. She always wants him to stay. Can we do something together? There's actually an origin of her going into the station when they're married saying, mm-hmm. you missed dinner. And
yeah.
He's just like, oh, and guess who's in the jail cell?
Kai Proctor.
So to me, I see it both ways, but I see more that she's always reaching for the intimacy and he never provides. And so she's going to find it any way she can, even if it's through caring for the dying and mm-hmm. being a part of this family for a little while.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It was fans, what do you guys think?
Yeah, what do you think? Tweet us.
Hashtag ABTV Banshee.
Yeah. Well, and in some ways, too, like, he's still taking from her, and he knows what she wants, but he's not willing to give mm-hmm. her fully what she wants. So I guess I kind of see both perspectives in some ways. I mean, it's obviously toxic for the both of them, but, you know, she wants a full-on relationship with him. He doesn't want that, but he's still willing to spend time with her, which, you know, ultimately is kind of selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. However, Kai's got another set of problems on his hands, mm-hmm. namely Rebecca, who continues to insert herself further and further into the business, much to the hilarious, like, like I've never seen a side eye like a Burton side eye.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's like, you know, like, look, I know what you're doing with the woman, and just like, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't, and like, yeah. you don't let her come with me to pick up this body. She's not, there's no reason,
yeah.
pal.
Great bit of acting there by Matt Roach. Just mm-hmm. like, no words in that scene,
mm-hmm.
but just that look of like, honestly?
Yeah.
Really?
Seriously? No words yeah. necessary.
Yeah, no, not necessary. It was just cool.
Yeah. They go to check out which Red Bones are picking up the body of Tommy Littlestone, mm-hmm. and we see Burton get out of the car, tells her to stay there. Glasses off, and we're like, oh,
uh-oh.
Man. And then he misses his window. They're coming out with the body immediately, glasses back on. Mm. It's like inverse Batman disguise. Mm-hmm.
Superman.
Inverse Superman.
Yeah, to be fair.
Yeah. Okay, although, well, then not although, inverse Superman.
Not inverse,
right?
It's like, actually Superman.
Because yeah.
when he takes him off, he gets into action.
Yeah. yeah.
Although That's we him. Can tell who he is still with glasses on or off.
Mm-hmm. But when he gets back to the car, Rebecca has now taken the wheel. She's had some lessons with her uncle.
Is she testing those limits?
Yeah, he knows he can't touch her because Kai got there first. No, terrible.
Oh, God.
But they drive after these guys, and we get into a classic chicken standoff on the highway,
mm-hmm.
and they exchange a look. And Burton suddenly has, like, a level of trust and respect.
Yeah.
And he's even, like, he's got
he's
the
smiling.
Widest smile as he's zooming towards his own mm-hmm. oblivion. And part of me has to wonder, I know he's getting off on the fact that they're totally screwing with these guys and that they might die and that they are enacting a level of vengeance against the people who are hurting his boss, who
yeah.
he has so much respect for. But I have to wonder also if on some level Burton likes the idea of dying for the cause and kind of wants to die.
I wasn't even going there.
And also to take Rebecca with him would, I think, also be a feather in his cap.
I felt like he had, right when he realized she was serious and really going to do this,
mm-hmm.
he has this moment of thinking of kinship with her.
Yeah.
Like, she's just as crazy as me. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was proud of her, I felt like.
They bonded
yes.
for the very first time.
Yes.
And it's great to see these two bond
yeah.
because it's only with two twisted people who like each other and are now maybe, you know, even friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's only going to get more twisted.
And go ahead.
Oh, it's that step from him, and they're going to Thelma and Louise grab each other's hand there and drive off into the thing.
Well, and I think it says a lot about their relationship that she goes to smoke the cigarette and he takes the lighter.
Yeah.
Remember the lighter setup? And then ultimately gives it to her to torch these guys. And I made a note of saying, like, it's almost like he wasn't going to let her hurt herself, but he was going to let her hurt, you know, the enemy. And and something changed between the, you know, on the car ride.
And also maybe even just a little, kid, you earned it.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, well, maybe because she kind of really showed her mettle there, you know, in the car. You know, I saw it, like, pretty much as vengeance, you know, because, I mean, the Redbones came and attacked her. They invaded Burton's, you know, like, place where he lives.
Well, he nearly lost his life fighting Nola. In his mind, it's all the same thing.
So they both have, like, even though they may be at odds, and him stopping her from smoking in his car because maybe he seems like a pretty neat guy.
I think he wants to keep it nice and
neat. Exactly. But seeing them have a moment of, like, we're going to do this together, and then, like you said, cool setup there, because I was like, oh, that lighter thing's interesting. Like, oh, nope, here it comes.
Yep. I have to give a shout out to costume designers, because Rebecca always looks amazing in her white dress, but I did notice the white pumps with a little bow, and I really want some.
They were real nice.
Tweet me.
They were nice pumps.
I want them.
And it's not often on this show that you see the seams of something, but that van flip, the CGI was just, it was a little, it was, I don't know.
It's the only
time, it's the only time I've ever noticed an effect on this show, and I only bring it up because it's always so, like, beautifully blended. And I was just kind of like, oh, all right.
But you noticed that last time. I don't notice this at all.
No, I noticed it with
Fat Man.
Yeah, who got, like, what's his name?
Oh, Brantley.
Brantley getting run over. But I'm like, well, how can they really do that? That's you know. So, and the same thing with the van flip. I guess they could have done that, but it doesn't pull me out of the show personally.
Oh no, and not for me either. I couldn't help but notice. I'm just like, oh wow. When's the last time I noticed an effect on this show and that I thought about it? And I'm like, never. Huh. All right. Before we move on, and we've got so much more to discuss, I want to really quickly bring up iTunes, because, you know, folks, the best way to support AfterBuzz TV is to go to iTunes, rate and review the shows that you listen to, that you watch on YouTube. Also, go to youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV and give us a little click on the subscribe button, because the only way that we're able to continue to bring you so much fantastic free after-show content is to get sponsors, and our sponsors find us through iTunes, through finding out that we have high quality, high rated, high viewed programming, and also seeing that our YouTube channel is well populated, well subscribed, and well liked. So your support costs you not a dime and barely any effort. It just takes a second, just a couple of clicks, a couple of clickety clacks of the keyboard, and it helps us out so much. We here at AfterBuzz TV put out over 100 hours of free content every single week. It's a massive undertaking, and we want to keep doing it for a very long time. So your support means the world to us. And you get a great shout out here on the show.
Yeah, well, it's certainly news to me that we're not charging for this show. That's something we should maybe talk to someone about. maybe some higher ups. Maria, what's going on? We got a nice little review from MJ101WWW. Interesting. Don't know what that means, but that's cool.
It's a personal thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It says, sorry it took me so long. I'm a latecomer to Banshee. What the hell was I thinking? I would drink in an episode immediately, chase it down with your show. Okay, well, great combo. It took me 2 weeks for the first two seasons. A binge watcher, really like that. And now I had to slow my roll. I won't watch an episode until your podcast comes out. Thanks and keep up the great work. Maurice.
That's really nice, Maurice. You're basically saying that we are the beer. We are the beer to your shot of Banshee.
Or whatever your chaser is.
Can I have a couple shout-outs real quick?
Yeah.
I want to shout out Haley. Thank you so much for your review on iTunes and for communicating with me on Instagram. And I also want to shout out Chippy. He had a little beef with us for last week's episode. I had said that Sheriff Hood didn't see Carrie in his flashbacks. And there was a big old hullabaloo over on IMDb. People were talking about this. And so I got a message from Chippy on YouTube, and I actually had to reach out to Adam Targum because I figured he would have known.
Right.
He didn't know.
He couldn't even tell.
He didn't know, but he got back to us, and yes, it was a single second flash of Carrie.
Yeah, so Carrie was there, but I think that also continues to underline the importance of Siobhan versus Carrie in his psyche right now. Obviously, he's going to think of her, but his brain took a right turn and instead thought mostly of Siobhan and his daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Let's talk about Carrie, shall we?
Yes.
She's having a dickens of a time being a waitress and being a mother in a life that's thoroughly unfulfilling, that is in no way the destiny that she was offered as a young person, who she ever thought she would be. And in this episode, she rebels a little bit, kind of like her daughter. She's learning in reverse, learning from her kids. So she abandons work. And she goes off to some dive bar and Skyver.
It, ladies, if you ever meet a man named Skyver, run.
If you meet a man whose name sounds too much like Skeevy.
It's Skeever.
Skeever.
Skeevy MacGyver was what I was thinking.
Right? Skeevy MacGyver. If you ever meet Skeevy MacGyver, run in the opposite direction. Or if you can kick his MFNA. Yep, not swearing
then
on this show, then go ahead and do it.
Now, Skyver was creepy. They were skeevy.
He was just
aggressive.
Yes.
Sexually aggressive, well, and then like a whiny baby when she didn't want to sleep with her.
Yeah, he was verbally aggressive, and it would lead you to believe where it went, but he didn't necessarily do anything wrong. I mean, she did encourage him by letting him buy her six drinks, which is...
Yeah, but she wanted to kick his ass. Don't you think?
I think she was setting him up to steal his bike.
Yeah, she totally was.
I think she just wanted to steal his bike and have some drinks. I think kicking his ass is just the gravy.
Yeah, totally gravy.
Yeah.
My feeling is that, you know, Carrie Hopewell was happy until Lucas comes back. Mm-hmm. And now that's really like loosened up. I kind of picture of it like loosing the screws on her because everything was good because she was believing in the lie. Mm-hmm. You know, she was protection. Rabbit was still out there. Like, she had this identity, and now Rabbit's gone. You know, Lucas is there. Her husband, you know, is going to be soon to be ex-husband, we think, has gone down the toilet. The lie's over. You know, and I think we're seeing the fraying at the edges.
That's a very valuable point, Oriana, because the fact is, she thought she had no other options for years. She had no other options. She had to be in hiding because her father was looking for her.
Right.
And now that he's gone, there really is that question of, why do I need to stay here at all? Obviously my kids, but like, Gordon loves those kids. Lucas is around and maybe he could help out with Deva. Why do I have to be here at all? I don't think she would ever abandon her children. That's not what I'm saying. I've never seen anything like that from her character. But obviously she yearns for a different life now that she has the option of doing so.
Got it.
Yeah. Well, and also she's had this, I mean, however long she's been in Banshee hiding out, but then she has like a taste of the
like
old
16
life.
16 years.
Yeah. She's got like a taste of the old life again. And I think it awakens something within her to kind of be like, yeah, I'm not this like nice mom or this, you know, diner waitress.
One of the themes that we keep seeing visited is, do people change?
Yeah.
Do people really change from who they are? And I think we're kind of seeing Anna come back a little bit, you know, that she had to stuff that part of herself for protective purposes and to stay safe. But ultimately, that is part of who she is.
Yeah.
Yes, she's changed a little bit, but she has to, you know, she's really struggling with that identity right now, I feel like.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I love this chase sequence. I love she runs out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
I love who comes to pick her up in the midst of everything else that he's doing. And he gets to say his goodbye. And they have just such a great, sweet, tender moment.
Oh, yeah.
I really love where their relationship has landed.
Mm-hmm.
Where they, very realistically, they are two people with a ton of history who have a child together. The romantic element in their relationship has passed.
Yeah, it's done.
But they're on good enough terms that they can just be intimate with one another.
Never say never.
Okay.
Well, I'm holding a candle. I got my candle. I'm holding my candle.
Well, I don't know. I think the Siobhan candle is my candle. That's my favorite candle.
I know.
I'll hold it high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I really like seeing that too. I don't know. I think there's, you know, I would hope if you have a child with somebody, there's a you know, a long lasting connection there. And even if you're no longer in a romantic place and you're, I guess, hiding out in an Amish town, maybe you can have a tender moment. Yeah. This may come up in your life several times.
I love that she says, you know, it's selfish of me, but I want you to stay. Because there have been many moments where it's like, why don't you just leave?
Yeah,
you
please
have,
leave.
Please leave. You've ruined my life. Leave, leave, leave. And now he has his daughter saying, I want you to stay. You know, his former love of his life wants him to stay. And then the nuzzles made me really happy. Because it's illustrating what you're saying is that they're so close. They love each other so much. Mm-hmm. They're in a whole nother place now than they used to be. But they're still intimate in a way.
Well, it's like people who get divorced but still have to stay close, who wind up being on good terms. You have an intense love for that person. You just know they're not right for you.
Yeah, but they didn't get divorced.
They were never married.
Yeah.
No.
But it was...
I don't know. I'm just the romantic. Okay. Yeah. No, he's moved on. He's moved on. I get it.
Yes.
Yeah. It was just nice to get, like, I mean, obviously the last episode was so action-packed. It was like nice to get the heart of the show, which is what I love about it so much.
Yes. Inside the house, however, is Deva, who's learning all kinds of fun lessons from Dad.
Yeah, I like her putting his advice to use by casing the video game store
there. Which is just filled with old issues of Nintendo Power, a magazine that has been canceled for years.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That was my first magazine, Nintendo Power.
Say, it's an Amish town. They're a little bit behind the times, and I guess way behind on video games.
Yeah, but they got Forza Motorsport 5. That's
sure.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a video game that you stole.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, in that magazine, I'm like, man, I think that was around when I played video games, like back in grade school.
Was the video game, would it really be $75?
A Forza game, probably 60, but if it's an independent store, which it seemed like it was, they might jack up the price a little bit just because they're trying to stay in business.
All right.
Yeah. And also, small town, there may not just be any other options, so...
Totally.
Yeah. Well, Amazon, but regardless.
Yeah.
She cases, the joint, and she's in and out in a flash.
Yeah, well, almost in and out. She had a little fumble there, but it's her first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And she gives Max... We finally saw Max!
Max
is alive! Can we get a round of applause for Max being alive?
He's asleep.
Yay, Max!
Thank you. Thank you, audience.
He used to be so important to the narrative, and now he's just living a peaceful life.
Now he's sleeping.
Yeah.
But he's sleeping peacefully. He's got a new game.
Yeah. I was like, wait, why is she still in the video game? For Max. It was sweet in some kind of way.
Yeah, but she also wanted to test her abilities.
Yeah.
Yeah, which apparently she's got skills.
She's got skills for sure, and I love the scene when she jumps into bed and Mom handles it the way she handles it. Because as a young girl at that age trying to rebel, I thought I was rebelling. It turns out, no, I wasn't really rebelling. But I did that kind of thing, and I snuck out at night. And my mom would do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she totally knew, and she wouldn't really bust me, but she'd let me know.
That she knows.
I know.
I'm on to you.
Yeah.
You're not that great.
You can get undressed now.
You forget that your parents were once young people, too.
You don't even think that your parents were young people.
Well, so you know that they tried it, so they know the signs of it. It's
right.
Like, look, how dumb do you think I am?
Yeah.
Exactly.
When I spoke to Ivana Milicevic a few weeks ago at the HitFix fan event for Banshee, I asked her, because I'd already seen this episode, I asked her if we would be seeing some mother-daughter thievery this season, and unfortunately the answer is no, but hopefully we won't rule that out for the future, because I would love to see them connect over their mutual love of stealing.
Right?
They need something to connect over. Why not stealing?
Yeah, that's one.
That's my personal pick.
Black clothes?
Okay, black clothes, sure. But that's not really something you can talk about for more than like a second.
True.
Yeah. So Gordon is getting his life together.
Gordon's cleaning up, literally.
Yeah, he hit rock bottom last week and the beard comes off.
Yeah, he's working cleans on up his the apartment. Fitness.
He apologizes to Allison.
Mm-hmm.
And he doubles back on his decision to offer a plea to Kai Proctor, yeah. which is awesome, and Allison is so into it.
Yeah, I like seeing him take up the fight again there. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I just like seeing him be Gordon again. Not the Gordon in Crisis last season, not the Gordon post-Crisis, like, hitting victim. Bottom. Yeah, playing the victim.
He said that. I've never been a victim. I'm done with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really liked the acting in that scene as well. Just this whole episode, there's so many tiny little nuanced moments, mm-hmm. and just people's facial expressions changing just a touch, mm-hmm. that I thought was so effective. And to see the two of them and have the attorney come in and give them both the hard time. Mm-hmm. And then she handles herself and then, like, looks over. Mm-hmm. And you can see the team's back. You know? Like, there's a connection there again.
Yeah. I'm just pleased to see Gordon back to his old self. I hope that we get to see more of that this season. Here's the thing, right? Gordon has always been an odd element of this show, mm-hmm. where it's always been a well-performed character. I was really interested in its early going about how he was dealing with it in the first season and when he was starting to smoke pot in the house. I was really depressed watching him last year, mm-hmm. but it's not sure what his goal is. His family's not going to be repaired. He still wants to be around for his kids. But I want to know, as a cog in the machine that is Banshee, what is his role? What does his role serve? It mm-hmm. was trying to bust Proctor and also Hood last season,
right.
Using Brock Lotus. Brock now is more on Team Hood. We're getting more elements of him. And I still feel like I know who Brock Lotus is and what he does on this show. Mm-hmm. I want to know what Gordon is going to be doing on this show for the next couple of years.
I see Gordon right now as being like the phoenix rising from the ashes. Mm-hmm. Like, he mm-hmm. is now in a place of, he's coming up. Like, we saw Alex Longshadow have this kind of comeuppance at some point. Mm-hmm. I feel like Gordon, it's Gordon's time.
You think he's up for another fall?
Not necessarily, but I think that he's powering up for something. I'm not sure where it's going to go.
Okay.
Fans?
Yeah.
What do you think, Fanchies?
Hashtag ABTV Banshee.
Yeah. I like, there was a cool sort of like parallel with like his story and Chabon's a little bit.
Hmm.
Like when the show starts, Gordon has his perfect life with Carrie, mm-hmm. and it's like really a facade. And then you have it being torn apart, and so it, you know, tears him down. And the exact same thing happens with Lucas and Chabon in this episode, because they had a seemingly great life, but it's really a charade too. And then you have her breaking down through the episode as well.
Also, we have this element that you brought up earlier, Oriana, of can people change, mm-hmm. being mm-hmm. the theme of this show, or one of the chief themes. And this is a guy who was incredibly rigid in his beliefs and what he thought a good life could be and what he mm-hmm. thought a good person was. And I have to imagine that if at some point he does discover who Sheriff Hood really is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Being able to accept and understand that not only should he not prosecute him, but that he can be on the side and has been on the side of right, would be a huge shift for his character. In the same way that Siobhan not turning him in this episode, I think, is a sign of the evolution of her character.
Agreed.
Because, you know, she was just a cop, and now she is not just a cop. She is someone who understands the larger game here. The fact that letting anyone know what has been going on here would be disastrous for the department and everything that they've tried to do.
Her performance... Trieste's performance mm-hmm. is unbelievable. Yeah, I love the scene of her driving around the car in her car crying. Mm-hmm. I can identify with that so much, of like being so bamboozled that you don't even know what to do. You just you got to do something. You're going to drive, to cry it out and drive. Also, remember her ex? Like, she's a badass.
Yeah.
She is a badass. And when we first met her, she was very black or white, you know, mm-hmm. like everything. There were no shades of gray, and there were no shades of gray in Banshee until Sheriff Hood comes to town. But she really has evolved and become softer and more understanding. Mm-hmm. And so I completely agree with what you're saying, is this is really a turn that surprised me. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting, but you can see how tortured they both are.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what's making me now buy into this love story.
Hmm. Yeah. I wonder if she'll, you know, possibly ever forgive him or be able to have some sort of relationship with him again. I don't.
I think she's desperately in love with him.
Yeah, I think so too. But like, I think it's really great having her make the decision, not for just because she loves him, but for the greater good, and especially for the greater good of the other officers in the Banshee County Police. Thought that was really cool.
This is another identity issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was a cop before. Yeah. And now that she's participated in some of this stuff and that she's now even considering not turning him in, she's becoming a different person.
Let's not forget that she helped execute a neo-Nazi at the top of the season.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, we got to talk about Sugar and Job. They got the short shrift in last week's episode. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to cover their scenes. I love this pair together.
So cool.
The Afro moment was fantastic. Hearing Hoon Lee's real voice.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah.
The show, yeah.
But I loved it. And
they're like odd couple pairing.
They are.
So great.
The look on Job's face when he comes out of the server room and just interrupts Sugar beating the security guard over the head with a mop handle.
Yeah.
And the look on his face of like, what the hell are you doing?
My concern at this point is that Job has been pointing out how old Sugar is, and I've been thinking, like, that's really funny. But this episode made me concerned that Sugar might be a little rusty if we're going to be doing a heist. Like, he's a little slow on the uptake with the picture and the fro and his response time. Mm-hmm. You know, and Job's always on it.
Well, Sugar, we have to remember at the top of the series, it had been a while since he had done any dirty.
Totally.
Sure.
Yeah. So he's still going to be slow on the uptake. He's the weakest link in this posse. But just by sheer nature of, like, his and Hood's relationship, they can't ever get rid of him.
No.
He just is there. But I love these two together. I hope that we get to see this heist soon. It's been a while since we've seen our colonel, but I'm glad we're still working on it. We need to talk about Chayton.
Chayton.
What an entrance. That entrance is so cool.
Geno Seegers has just so much presence.
Yeah. Well, he barely has to say anything, man.
He didn't. He didn't say anything the whole
episode. Just the look on his face and touching the body and, like, his, you can see the pain and the tear.
Yeah.
So much emotion.
Yeah, well, that sort of calls back, too. Like, he puts his hands on his brother before, and now his brother's dead. He's putting his hand on him again, getting the flashback there. And what a great moment when he's walking out carrying the body and you get that single tear down his cheek, which was, it was powerful.
Mm-hmm. And to see Amy, the devastation of what's happening to her tribe and to her town, and then equally and how Carl, the chief, doesn't give a crap.
Yeah.
And these are her brothers. Mm-hmm. She grew up with Chayton and Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's very much in mourning as well.
Yeah, we had that great story last week about them coming over to her house as kids and, you know, her saying, oh, he was my brother and stuff. And so she's lost one of her brothers, really.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we are low on time, so I kind of have to gloss over. We kind of have to gloss over the points of as Sheriff Hood is about to leave town, he realizes there's one last good thing that he can do.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to shoot Kai Proctor at point blank range. It does not work out for him.
Wow.
Kai gets arrested on assault charges. there are so many witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to hold up. This is like really sloppy.
Oh, man. For a moment there, I was like, is he really going to shoot him? Mm-hmm. Like, just in the nick of time, he pushes the gun out of his face. But then also you find out that, like, Kai can fight, man.
Oh, yeah. Kai can
he's
fight.
Been practicing.
Hold court with Lucas Hood there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he gets booked. He gets arrested. He's in jail. And our old friend, Kurt Bunker, the ex-neo-Nazi, is back.
Mm-hmm.
And just as everything seems hunky-dory for everyone, big old lights shine through, a bunch of red bones outside, and we end on a hail of gunfire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Crazy. This is a little off the topic. I just want to give a shout-out to the sound effects people, because that fight with Kai Proctor, it was so impressive.
Yeah.
The ringing in the ears, the nails
time.
In the bag, the getting slammed against the stripper poles.
Yeah.
I heard it all, and I loved it.
Any guess as to what that is? Because we had Billy Raven humming that at the end of the last episode.
Yeah, if any of you know the translation or know the origin of this seemingly tribal song.
There is an origin for it.
Oh, there is an origin for it. So we'll have to watch the Banshee Origins.
Yes, you will.
We need to get up on it.
Get caught up on that.
All right, we need to do some predictions.
And now, your After Buzz TV predictions.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
We've got a hail of gunfire, mm-hmm. bunch of people in this police station. Everyone who's come in from the show has said that episode 5 is a watershed episode. I've seen the episode, so I can't make predictions. Oriana has seen the episode, so she can't make
predictions. I have my own prediction, though.
You have your own prediction?
This is like a long-term prediction.
All right, long-term okay. prediction, too.
We didn't get to talk about it last week because of our amazing guests, and we were short on time, but... Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with a fan online. It really stuck out to me that Hood was talking psych ops with Agent, what's his face on the
show? Oh, Phillips.
And mm-hmm. I just thought it was a little weird that he was talking about psych ops 101. And I think that that's going to tell us that he has had some formal training and he's some kind of ex-official badass.
Okay.
Like former military, maybe?
Something deep, dark, underground that no one would know, and that's why his mm-hmm. identity's been wiped.
Hmm.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, well, I like that, him, you know, using that psychops thing last episode. I guess it's on me to, like, actually predict what's happening. So
yes. Yes, it is.
That's nice. wow. Well, I did have a right prediction from this last week, so I kind of hate to be wrong, but I'm probably going to be dead wrong. I don't know. I like Kurt Bunker coming back. Mm-hmm. I think he is a good guy. I think we can trust him. I think he's going to be very. He's going to be very handy in this shootout.
I think so.
I think that's definitely going to happen. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have much else. I'm trying to think of like a better prediction than that.
Cause we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah. It's very exciting. It's a great episode, and I can't wait for you guys to
well,
see it.
Well, okay.
You got no, a prediction?
This is something, but...
What is it?
I feel like we're losing someone else.
You think there's a death next week?
I think there's another... in the next one or two episodes.
In the next one or two.
We're going to have a significant death.
I think that that's a... I think
Kai's mom does have cancer.
She does have cancer.
Yeah,
she's dying.
That's not.
It could be Kai's mom.
Do you feel like
the season hasn't had that kind of stakes?
I mean, Nola died last episode, so that was pretty big stakes.
Yeah.
But it's got to be somebody important to Lucas.
Hood, okay.
And I don't want it to be Siobhan, but that's where my brain's going.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, folks, thank you so much for watching this episode of the Banshee After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tweet us your thoughts and your predictions at the hashtag ABTVBanshee. And please don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Oriana, where can the people find you?
At Miss Oriana Leo.
Yes, and Isaac.
At Isaac Johnson on Twitter, The Isaac Johnson on Instagram, and YouTube, The Isaac Johnson. Check out my music video and a short film.
Okay. And you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman, and you can also find all of my YouTube content on my personal channel, youtube.com/C/Matt Lieberman, or on SourceFed and SourceFed Nerd. I also did a bunch of stuff for D News this past week. If you like science news, keep your eyes peeled to my Twitter. I'll be tweeting them out. Thank you all so much, and I will see you, or we will see you
yes.
next week.
We'll all be here.
Yeah, we're all going to be here.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Fanshees rule.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.